benefits, but treatments to relieve pain are designed to take away pain per se. Generally, this is symptomatic treatment, and therefore poor medicine, unless it is administered for humanitarian purposes. The use of morphine, Demerol, or other strong analgesics is certainly justified when there is excruciating pain, but not as a definitive treatment. Acupuncture appears to work as a local anesthetic. In other words, it blocks the transmission of pain nerve impulses to the brain. If one is dealing with a chronic disease for which no relief of pain can be expected, this is a good treatment. For the typical back pain patient, it can give temporary relief, but it does nothing about the underlying process, the cause of the pain. Nerve blocks are widely used, especially when pain is severe and intractable. A local anesthetic is injected and does essentially what acupuncture does. Therefore, the criticism of this as treatment for back pain is the same. Transcutaneous nerve stimulation, or TNS, depends on mild electric shocks administered over the painful area to give pain relief. Electrodes are usually taped in place, and the patient can activate the shock at will. One can say the same thing about this as for the two previous treatments. However, there is a real question whether this functions as anything but a placebo. A group at the Mayo Clinic published a study in 1978 in which they demonstrated that a placebo worked equally well. When there is prolonged relief as a result of any of these treatments, one must suspect a placebo effect. There can be no other explanation, for they do not attack the cause of the problem. To the prescribers of treatments to promote relaxation, I would put the question, to what end? What is your purpose in trying to relax the person? What do you hope to accomplish? There's considerable fuzziness about this subject in the area of pain relief. There is no question that a calm, relaxed person will experience less pain, but again, we are engaged in symptomatic treatment. The basic disorder is not being treated. And how much time can be devoted each day to the relaxing exercises? I advise my patients that meditation and relaxation exercises can't hurt, but one cannot depend on them for definitive relief of pain. The specific role of biofeedback in pain relief is to produce muscle relaxation. The usual procedure is to affix small electrodes over forehead muscles, whose electrical activity, which reflects muscular activity, then registers on a gauge or screen. The subject is then instructed to reduce the gauge reading, which means the muscle has relaxed, and this in turn produces reflex relaxation in muscles elsewhere in the body. I do not prescribe biofeedback, as again, it is treating the symptom. Probably the most common treatment among those used to correct a structural abnormality is manipulation. The abnormality for which this is used is malalignment of spinal bones, and the purpose of treatment is to restore alignment. I do not believe the abnormality exists, and if it did, I do not believe it could be changed by manipulation. On occasion, dramatic relief of pain follows a manipulation, suggesting that the person is having a good placebo response. Patients generally return for these treatments regularly. It is likely, therefore, that they are having a placebo response, which is known to be temporary. Though not as common as manipulation, surgery to remove extruded intervertebral disc material is frequently performed. Without question, such procedures are often essential. It is my impression, however, based upon my experience with patients with herniated discs, that the extruded disc material is often not responsible for the pain. Needless to say, the physicians who perform these operations do so with the sincere conviction that an offending substance is being removed. This is the concept that governs the decision to do surgery, and it is widely held. Nevertheless, because of my therapeutic experience, I am forced to the conclusion that surgery may sometimes produce a desirable result because of the placebo effect. The strength of a placebo, meaning its ability to achieve a good and permanent effect, is measured by the impression it makes on the person's mind. This is why surgery is probably a very powerful placebo. Cervical traction, which can actually distract or pull apart the cervical bones to a slight degree, is another attempt to alter a structural abnormality. In this case, to try to make the cervical foramina larger. These are the holes formed by two spinal bones through which the spinal nerves make their way. The idea is to make the holes larger, so the nerves won't supposedly be, quote, pinched. But as I have said before, the idea that they are being pinched is usually fantasy, and once again, there is much ado about nothing. For years, the doctrine of strengthening back and abdominal muscles to protect the back or relieve it of pain has been preached across the length and breadth of the land. It is an idea that is deeply ingrained in the American mind, and it is dead wrong. Programs are taught in the YMCA, exercises prescribed by thousands of doctors, and people are trained by a large variety of therapists. There is nothing wrong with doing these exercises and strengthening these muscles. It's a very good thing. But I tell my patients they will neither make your pain go away nor protect you from it. And if they do, you are having a placebo effect. What about using exercise to get you going, to break your fear of physical activity? That is a very different story and a very good use for exercise. There are a number of physical treatments that will increase the flow of blood into an area by increasing the temperature of the tissue. For example, heat can be generated within muscle by the use of shortwave or ultrasonic radiation. Deep massage and active exercise will do the same thing. Contrary to